Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about opening the channels of communication with the divine principle. In this show, we will discuss the allness of the omnipresent, immortal, invisible, intangible spirit of eternal life. Listen as we explain the language of spirit is silence, and the activity of spirit is stillness. Thus, we must replicate the divine principle to activate it in our experience. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and understand the operations of the divine principle. So, the title of today's show is Learning the Language of Spirit. Well, let's start off with, what is the language of spirit?
Well, last week we talked about what Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures on page 349, 24 to 30. And I'll read it again. Speaking of the things of spirit while dwelling on a material plane, material terms must be generally employed. Mortal thought does not at once catch the higher meaning, and can do so only as thought is educated up to spiritual apprehension. To a certain extent, this is equally true for all learning, even that which is wholly material. That's the end of the quote. Yeah, for us to start to learn the language of spirit, you start by educating your thought as to what that might look like when you're doing it. Because like we said in the opening, the language of spirit is silence. The activity of spirit is stillness. Spirit is the omnipresent divine principle, the perfection of being, absolute, whole, complete, and fulfilled. Now, one thing we have established is that we cannot understand that with the mind we're using to get us through this lifetime. The big variable is to think differently. And by thinking differently, we really mean having this birth of Christ in consciousness. We stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through the corporeal senses. And in this silence and stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let this divine truth reveal itself to us. Without the birth of the Christ, without knowing this truth, we really continue to perpetuate the cycle of death and rebirth. We're working with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And by thinking, we're creating the interference pattern. We're creating the veil, causing the divine principle to short circuit because it doesn't function in duality. It operates in the absolute.
So it sounds to me like we have to have an understanding of what this language of spirit is in order for us to really know if that's what we're listening to is the language of spirit, because we can't do it in this mortal form. Is that correct?
Yeah, to understand the divine principle, you realize it needs no understanding. Truth is the expression of spirit, the only self-existence of eternal life, perfect and whole. once you realize what is coming through your corporeal senses is not the divine creation. And you stop using it as your sole indicator of trying to understand the omnipresence of the divine principle. God says, trust and I will show, while man says, show and I will trust. Just as the mortal mind sees only its own creation, the divine mind sees only its own creation. And we must be able to discern which is which, because we can't be both or serve two masters. So you can use the testimony of your corporeal senses to help you understand what you are conscious of and how you are thinking. To be conscious of the divine truth, the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. This idea of oneness, the absolute, the omnipresent omniscience of the divine principle. It's right here, it's right now. But if as far as we can get with our vision is the corporeal sense testimony, then we will never know the truth. So there's this inner work that has to be in place, this rebirthing or birthing of the Christ in consciousness. Before we can speak the divine language, we need to know the Christ. The Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Without it, we're a branch cut off from the vine. We're out of the Father's house. We don't know the truth. We're blind. We see what isn't there, and we're blind to what is there, which is the divine creation.
So how do we begin to understand or to know the language of spirit?
Only Christ knows the will of the Father, and Christ doesn't communicate with a mortal person. This is why we say only reason walks through the open door of revelation. It's a process, and the teachings of Jesus are filled with parables and stories blazing the path to divine truth. But we must be educated consumers to follow the symbolism of these explicit instructions. The entire Gospel of John is a pathway to revelation, as is his other work in the Bible titled Revelation. I think to use things like the Good Shepherd, the resurrection of Lazarus, the Sermon on the Mount, the Transfiguration as instructions to enable the declaration of an individual as immortal, perfect, one with the divine principle. Now, at some point, we have to go beyond thinking about divine truth. We have to stop worshiping an external God, start to become conscious of the omnipresent divine principle functioning right here and right now. But we know it doesn't report in the corporeal sense mind.
So Swami, you were saying not to worship an external God. I know in the Bible it says where you stand is holy ground. So are you saying that we have to come to the realization that there is the Christ within us and we have to develop a process to be able to access the Christ within us because we are God manifested?
Yeah, and what you're saying is that it's very complicated, and there is an evidence procedure to this entire developmental experience. Just like a caterpillar can become a butterfly, the mortal human being is like a seed. It's not the entire picture. And we have to be taught initially, how to separate identity from being individualized from the world mind. We come in and we believe that we are a finite mortal being. We believe in the mental material concept. Now, that's Genesis 2. And without the knowledge of Genesis 1, the divine creation, you really have no principle. And without a principle, there's no rule that can be employed. And so humanity has been fumbling through these antiquated beliefs in an external God, in a belief that we are finite mortal beings, and we have completely missed the message of the Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and Orthodox religion doesn't really understand what Jesus came to do. And people think Jesus died for our sins, and by me believing that Jesus did that, that I'm saved. And so you're in the cycle of death and rebirth. We continue to believe in the conduct-based good human theory of Orthodox religion, but we haven't taken this to the experiential level, the idea of the resurrection, the ascension, that is all possible right here, right now, when I am willing to be whole. I love that in that one healing that Jesus does with the cripple at Bethesda, where he says, "Wilt thou be whole?" Then he says, "Rise." And then he says, "Pick up your bed and walk." Jesus is revealing the divine creation right there. How does he do it? Because he is conscious of it. Consciousness is experience. Now, if you are in the presence of someone who is of that divine consciousness, their level of consciousness can lift you out of your level of consciousness, which is typically we are individualized by the world mind. Now, one of the things I've noticed is that there isn't anybody today, seemingly on the planet, who is demonstrating this principle with any kind of scientific certainty. If there was, it would be global. Inside of a week, everybody would know. Because think about Mary Baker Eddy when she was on the planet. The telephone was just coming out of the ground. The automobile was just coming out of the ground, and people knew about divine science, her discovery, globally. It was traveling because that's the divine principle. That's the word of God. Now, with communication the way it is today, if there were people demonstrating divine law with that kind of scientific certainty, who wouldn't know about it? Now, that doesn't mean the divine principle has left. What it means is we lost her discovery. We lost the message of the Christ. The same thing happened to Christianity for the first almost 300 years. That's all Christians did was heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. But because of persecution, everything went underground, and then what emerged was the church, this belief system that no longer demonstrates the divine principle. And so we fell back into that same old Judaic belief in a far-off God, the belief in good human practices to get your reward after you expire. That doesn't work anymore. People want results. But what we don't have is leadership.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we're back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance,
purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I'd like to get back to the story that you had mentioned about Jesus' healing of the cripple. And you had said that Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And then rise and then pick up your bed and walk. Well, that to me kind of sounds like a process. So what would that look like if we were to do that today?
Yeah, the first thing you have to understand is, what does it mean to be whole? Are you willing to give up the false sense of existence, the mortal, physical, mental concept of life, and then rise? Because we're at a level of consciousness. We live in duality. Like I said, we're being individualized by the world mind. The world mind broadcasts its belief about the divine creation. And we receive that in our mortal mind. And by us accepting that as who we are and what we think is real, we remain in this cycle of death and rebirth. We're out of the Father's house. This world is not the divine creation. And like attracts like. Now, we all talk about being whole, being complete, being fulfilled, being spiritual. But talk doesn't cook the rice. As long as I am attracted to things visible and tangible, also things that are invisible and tangible, the mental world, the world of thought, is also dualistic. To understand this, you really have to understand creation, the principle of manifestation. In order for something to manifest, it must split from unity, manifest in half, and then leave behind the complementary, unmanifested other part. That's the Trinity they talk about. We have the absolute, you have the manifested and the complementary, unmanifested other part. We experience this every day when we make what we call shifts in consciousness. Consciousness in the physical body is what we call the waking state. Now, the waking state is dualistic, and we know it's dualistic because there's contrast. We have recollection from our experience with this dimension because there's this point of departure that enables our senses to perceive what's before them. Now, when consciousness leaves the physical body, moves into what is known in yoga as the astral mental body, that's the sleep from which we return when we have recollection. It's the dream state. The dream state is the complementary, unmanifested other part. Thoughts are dualistic, which means we have recollection from our experience with our dreams because they're not whole, they're not complete. And so when consciousness leaves the astral mental body and moves into what is called the causal spiritual body, that's the sleep from which we return when we have no recollection. That's the regenerative, the restorative, dreamless state. When consciousness returns to unity, and the reason we have no recollection from our experience with that dimension is because it has returned to unity, no longer in duality. And so when Jesus says rise, he's lifting this mortal sense of man into this unified state of awareness. Now, because the divine creation is absolute and consciousness is experience, just like light dispels darkness, this divine truth in consciousness dissolves the belief that I'm a finite mortal being with a condition. It will also dissolve the finite mortal belief of a human who seemingly is in perfect health. Now, in order for us to really begin to advance in this process, we have to have a willingness to put off the false sense of self, whether it's good or bad. But what we find is it's a whole lot easier to give up a personal sense of self that is in disarray. If you have pain, discomfort, instability, lack, limitation, if you're suffering, that's why Jesus said it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because who wants to jump out of a perfectly good airplane kind of a thing? And fear is the defense mechanism for this false sense of self. And for most of us, fear is what runs the entire show. And so if we're not employing strategies, if you're not developing human will, so that you can actually graduate from being individualized from the world mind and separate from what was called mother. The symbolism you find in scripture would be Lao Tzu riding the bull, Jesus riding the colt of an ass into Jerusalem. We have to master the mind-body complex before we qualify to enter into this higher realm of understanding. So there's preparatory work that must be in place.
Swami, let's talk more about this preparatory work. What do we have to do? What do we have to know?
Yeah, well, like we said in the opening, the language of spirit is silence and the activity of spirit is stillness. Thus, we must replicate the divine principle to activate it in experience. Consciousness is experience. And as Mary Baker Eddy said, the true consciousness is the true health. It's time to face the scientific facts. If we're not healing the sick, reforming sinners, raising the dead, what Jesus called preaching the gospel, then we cannot have the mind of Christ. So what can I do to get the mind of Christ? I love what Gilbert Carpenter said. A thing divinely and scientifically natural for one whose thought is freed from the influence of mortal mind. So we must turn away from the information that is coming through the corporeal senses. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, just listen to what the Bible is telling us. Be still and know that I am God. Sow to the flesh is death, to sow to the spirit is eternal life. Starting to understand that what is appearing in your corporeal senses is not the divine creation, so you treat it differently. Persons, places, things are now looked at as intruders. You know it doesn't come from divine mind. So rather than reacting to them, we start to reject what is appearing in the corporeal senses. Not just senseless optimism, but like we said earlier, you must know the truth. Life is perfect. I am the divine creative principle. I am the reflection of the perfection of being. And you rest in that knowledge. See, the peace that comes with knowing that truth becomes your lamplight. That's what guides you. So rather than needing to do things, you start to shift your identity. You start to attune yourself to the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. Spirit has no need. Mortal sense is what lives in fear. It thinks it has needs. But as you begin to trust the omnipresence of the divine principle, and you begin to rest in the knowledge of that, and then you're starting to fill your thought with divine idea, not mortal thought. The divine idea is absolute goodness. It's the peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance of the divine qualities. This is what you start to look for in your experience. And at the same time, you develop the willpower so that you can resist the negative influences that could be coming from the mortal mind, and at the same time affirm the omnipresence of the perfection of being. Keeping your mind in constant relation with that divine truth, filling your thought with divine idea, not human thought. Knowing the difference between a thought and an idea, separating the wheat from the tares, and again, developing the psychological organs so that you have the hardware to be able to do the work that will then enable you to experience only divine truth in consciousness.
So you stated a while back that Christ doesn't communicate with a mortal person. But the same token, wouldn't we have some kind of a knowing or a click or something that would let us know we are receiving information or something from Spirit?
Yeah, where does this come from? I mean, so many people think they are in tune with the Word of God. They think God speaks to them. Now, one of the things I've been working with is you have to understand that God will not talk to a human being. Before Lazarus can come out of the tomb, before Christ can come to Lazarus, Lazarus must be in the tomb. This mortal sense of self must be mastered and buried in the silence and stillness of divine revelation. Before you love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, before you understand that Lazarus is the purified human consciousness awaiting resurrection, most of the time you're going to be experiencing what in Revelations is called looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. You're still working with the mortal mind, and you're working with thought and belief, and you're able to change finite bad to finite good. You're still in the cycle of death and rebirth. There's no resurrection here. And so you work with the testimony of your senses. Like we say, unless you're healing the sick, reforming sin, or raising the dead. Yeah, we all get these glimmers of truth. But it's really not until you are willing to accept spiritual identity, understand yourself to be one with the divine principle, because the divine principle of oneness only functions in oneness. That's the physics of spirituality. And if you don't purify the mind-body complex, and then have Christ call you out of the tomb, because the Lazarus that comes out of the tomb is not the Lazarus that went in. The caterpillar comes out of the chrysalis as a butterfly, and the human in the adult state, the human in spiritual identity, has options. The human individualized by the world mind doesn't. And so, yeah, there's a lot that has to be in place before you're able to demonstrate this divine law with any kind of certainty.
Well, that completes our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. Now, on any of those pages, when you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts for today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and understand the operations of the divine principle. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga revelation. Namaste.